Have you ever considered getting a bodyguard? There seem to be more and more reasons for doing so, and a number of people who are doing just that. Those who are designated as the official presidential candidates of the large political parties in our country are automatically provided with a security detail. Those who are in the spotlight as entertainers or business moguls sometimes feel the need for some extra protection and employ such services. And the way things are going, it might happen that those who are simply interested in going to the mall will feel the need for some extra protection. Just 9 days ago, in a town as close as St. Cloud, Minnesota, 9 people in a mall were attacked by a knife-wielding adversary. Just 3 days ago, in a mall just outside of Seattle, 5 people were shot to death. We have the privilege, of course, of gathering on a quiet and secluded corner of the globe where we are surrounded by fellow Christians on a daily basis. And so for us, getting a bodyguard might be one of the last things that we've ever thought would be something that we should pursue. In reality, however, we are surrounded by some amazingly dangerous threats, even here, even though many of them cannot be seen. And because of this, our Heavenly Father did determine that bodyguards are something we need. And so he enlisted the very strongest, angels. In Psalm 91, we're told, God shall give his angels charge over you. It is unlikely that it is marked on any of the regular calendars that you might look at this week, but this is the week, according to the Christian calendar, when the work of angels is scheduled for review. This Thursday, September 29th, has been designated as the day for St. Michael and all angels. If you'll take a look in your hymnals, the Lutheran hymnal, on page 3 in the front of the book, you'll see that there the Christian year has been printed out. And if you scroll down on the right-hand column to September 29th, you'll see that it is identified as St. Michael and all angels. Flipping ahead to page 92, you'll find the selected readings for liturgical purposes that have been extracted and singled out for the event. And then in the hymn section, hymns 254 through 257, there are hymns which are identified as being particularly well suited for this observance. So what's the background of this event, St. Michael and all angels? This and a few other events are known as the minor festivals. By the time of the Lutheran Reformation, the Christian calendar had been filled with all sorts of various festivals and events, many of which were dedicated and named after certain saints. Luther, for example, was named Martin because he was born on St. Martin's Day. And it didn't take long for problems to arise in the Church of the Middle Ages, whereby the members of congregations were encouraged more and more to look to and venerate and pray to these various saints rather than to the one mediator, Jesus Christ, through whom alone we have access to the Father. So the Lutheran reformers decided to get rid of many of those misguided festivals which had been abused. But they did retain a handful of those events, which they believed would still be of benefit. They felt there still were some topics that would be good for the church to review and consider on an annual basis, and the topic of angels is one of them. Michael is the only archangel named in Scripture. The book of Daniel speaks of him as a defender of God's people, and the books of Jude and Revelation speak of some of the confrontations which Michael has had with the devil himself. But the Bible refers more commonly to angels as a group, and the revelation it makes about the angelic host is a wonderful thing. One of the great things the Bible reveals about these heavenly warriors is that they are actively involved in our protection. They are heavenly bodyguards, so to speak, faster, stronger, wiser than any defense system that human beings could ever devise. God has given angels certain responsibilities, and one of them is to bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Even though God is perfectly capable independently of doing all that we need, and even though nothing can happen without his permission, nevertheless, he determined to create multitudes of these heavenly spirits whom he would enlist for our protection. And it is wonderful to know that as we work and walk and study and sleep, we are given that angelic protection. We tend to hear more about the evil angels, of course, and that's with good reason. The Bible needs to remind us again and again of the hatred which the devil has for us and of his determination to destroy us. In Revelation 12, we're told about the war that arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And the result, a few verses later, we're told, the devil has come down to you, that is earth, in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. The dragon was angry, John says, and went off to make war. We have a defeated but determined devil after us. And that's why it's good to know that God has dispatched for our protection the very hosts of angels which were victorious in that great battle that took place in heaven so long ago. Does this mean that children of God will never experience an injury? Does this mean that the children of God, Christians, will never experience what we might perceive to be an untimely death? No, it does not mean that. For his own good reasons, at times the Lord does withhold the angelic protection and allow injuries to afflict his children. He does, at times, for his own reason, call one of his children to himself at a time that seems early to us. But except for those rare instances, he does direct his angels to be on active duty to keep harm and danger away from us. And we probably don't even have a clue as to the enormous number of times that the angels have kept something from harming us or gotten us out of the way. In a sermon which Luther preached on St. Michael's Day of 1531, he said, "You should be certain that angels are protecting you when you go to sleep. Yea, they are protecting you also in all your business, whether you enter your home or leave your home. Therefore, even when you come to die, you should say that Christ will be with you and will have an unnumbered multitude of holy angels with him. You should know that angels are at your side not only in this life, but also in death." In short, one of our greatest blessings is invisible, infinitely stronger than anything on earth. The angels of heaven, who are otherwise occupied in the singing of God's praises and doing his will, are happy to descend in order that they might bear you up. May our praises, therefore, also rise to our Father in heaven for this great blessing in addition. The angels of heaven, the mighty beings, they are ones whom God sends to do us good, to deflect the threats, and to disarm what alarms. From that section of hymns in the hymnal, we sing this morning hymn 254, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 8, 254, 1, 2, 3, and 8.